Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Cinema Specialists are back, and we are here with a brand new series called You Haven't Seen That, and that is going to be a series dedicated to making it so that when people say that statement to you, you can say, no, I have seen those now. As a film person my entire life, as somebody who went to film school, it's always funny when you know, you tell somebody you haven't seen a particular movie, they go, they really can't believe it when you've gone to film school. How could you have not seen every single movie that's ever existed in the entire history of time? So you always get that statement of you haven't seen that. And it's always like, yeah, that's why I just said to you that I haven't seen it. It's like, you don't need to reiterate it. I like, why are you so shocked? But there are certainly movies that are shocking that people haven't seen. So what John and I are going to be doing is each week, we are going to try to do one movie that it's kind of crazy. If you haven't seen it, it's more popular. If you haven't seen it, what rock have you been living under? Now you finally have a reason to watch it. And our other movie is going to be something that's a little bit less popular. Maybe one that you should have seen, but you'd never heard of, you know, or it just kind of drifted by you. It's a little bit harder to find. And that's where we're starting with this. And that's why we're starting with Godzilla from 1954 and Godzilla from 1998. Obviously, we're recording this on a Monday at noon. So if you are there and you are listening to this, like this video, subscribe to our channel. This is going to be the main staple series now of the Cinema Specialists. We did some brackets last month. If you haven't checked out those brackets, make sure you do. They were a lot of fun. John and I had a great time talking about Adam Sandler. We had a great time talking about 90s sports nostalgia movies, and we had a great time talking about the most popular movies of all time. We also had a Dune Part 2 review in there, so make sure you check all of that out. Our Marvel series will come back about a month before Deadpool and Wolverine comes out. We are going to be finishing out and catching up, and then every time one of those movies comes out, we'll just add to that series. But for now, this is what you should be expecting from us moving forward. There is no limit to how many we could do. If you have suggestions, we're trying to make these movies somewhat relevant to something that's coming out. Obviously, this one's easy because Godzilla Kong, the new Empire, just came out. So that's an easy one to say, look, we're going to do two Godzilla movies and talk about them. However, they're, you know, later on, we've already planned out for our first 2 months. We're being a little bit more loose with this. We're not necessarily saying, oh, it must be something that is insanely related to something else that's going on. So we're going to be loose. It's going to be fine. We're excited to sit here. We're excited to talk about this. We hope you're as excited for this as we are. And as we said, if you have suggestions, if you have anything like that, we just kind of want the two movies that we are discussing to have some relation to each other. That's the biggest thing, whether that's an actor, a director, a writer, genre, it doesn't matter. Or one could simply be a air quotes, remake of the other in Godzilla 1998 world. So anyway, John, welcome back. How's it going? Glad you're going to talk 3 minutes into the podcast. Yes, I'm allowing you. What's going on?
Great. I am very excited for this series because it's going to let us talk about a lot of movies we didn't have an excuse to talk about before. And now we do have an excuse to talk about them. We get to talk about movies. Like you said, people probably should have seen at least one of these movies that we're discussing today. And if not, they should probably watch the other that they haven't seen.
Yeah. And what I think is fun about this is there is no requirement, right? You know, we don't have to sit here and say, oh, well, it's in our top 100, or how does it relate to our top 100? We can literally do this until the end of time because we can do every single movie that's ever existed if we really wanted to. Sorry, John, can you hear my dog barking in the background?
A little, yeah.
Nice. Well, my dog's going to be going crazy a little bit here. We have somebody looking at our house because we're going to paint our house. And my dog does not like other humans, as Will talked about on the one podcast. So apologies if you're hearing that. I'm trying to, let me see if they're... Background noise is reduced, so unfortunately, it's just going to be my dog yapping in the background, who did bite my finger on New Year's Day because we were watching Godzilla Marathon, and I was pretending she was Godzilla, and then she got a little too excited about being Godzilla. She bit my finger, and I had to go get a tetanus shot. So here we are. John, Godzilla 98, Godzilla 54. We are saying that Godzilla 98 is the more popular one of these. And I know Letterboxd disagrees with us, but if you go on IMDb, it's not even close. Not even remotely close. 1998 has over 200,000 ratings there. And the 54 original version has 39,000. So it's not even close. And Letterboxd is a little bit more of cinephiles. So I'm going to go based off of, being that the 54 version is in Japanese, it's in black and white, it's from the 50s, that more people have seen the 1998 version because it's just honestly more accessible and easier to find. But we're going to be talking about both of these kind of simultaneously. So yeah, John, what do you want to say first? Because I know you have thoughts.
I do have thoughts. What was your first experience with Godzilla? Like, of these two movies, which one did you experience first?
What do you think, John?
98, obviously, right?
Of course. I went and saw it in theaters. It was the year after Armageddon, right? Because Armageddon was 98. It was the same year as Armageddon. Yeah. This was when me and my dad were going to theaters a lot. And so now, you know, it would be like, oh, of course we're going to go see the Godzilla movie. Why would we not? No matter how bad the reviews were. And it was an easy movie to take your child to go see. So yeah, I saw the Godzilla version in theaters. I had not seen the 1954 version until 2021. That was the first time I watched that movie. I was never really big into the Godzilla things. I always thought that they were super corny because you catch them on AMC or TCM right. or whatever it was. And it would always be kind of, you'd be catching them in the middle and they always seem so cheesy and the music and whatever. So I was always like, whatever, not a big deal. And then finally, as Raptor8415 says, a lot of people have probably seen the 1998 one as a kid. You have to actually seek out the 1954 version. Finally, I said, you know what? I'm going to seek out the 1954 version. I sat down, I watched it. And I loved it. I loved it. It's a great movie. Minus one is better, but it's a great movie, and it's one of those monster flicks that you absolutely should have seen. But anyway, sorry to steal your thunder there. What did you want to say?
No, that was my experience too. I also remember going to see 98 in theaters, and I think when you look at people our age, that's going to be most of their experience because that's the in 98 you're getting to the point where you are going to movies and theaters a lot usually. And your first exposure to Godzilla being the 98 Godzilla is such a shame because it is Godzilla in name only. Nothing else about that movie is Godzilla.
What movie is that, John? What movie did that want to be?
Like 98 Godzilla?
Yeah, what movie was that trying to replicate?
Feels more like Aliens.
Jurassic Park.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, 5 years
later. Jurassic Park. 5 years later, they, instead of it just being, oh, here comes the one big monster, it's now we're going to have the raptors, essentially. And we're going to chase them around Madison Square Garden rather than chasing them around, through the convention center at the place. What is it called? Yeah. Why can I not think of it?
The Welcome Center?
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, thank you. The Welcome Center. I could not think of the word welcome. But rather than chasing them through the Welcome Center, now they're going to chase them through Madison Square Garden. It wanted to be that, down to the fact that the baby Godzillas are literally just raptors. That's all they are.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a very good point. And it's really interesting when you look at 98's Godzilla, because I honestly, I don't think there's anything that really works in that movie. I know a lot of, there are a lot of people who have a fond place in their heart for the 98 Godzilla. I'm one of them. Like, there's a fondness for it because it does have that childhood memory for me. It spawned an animated series about Godzilla, which most people probably don't remember because I remember it existing. I don't remember what it was about at all. But when you look at this from like a film perspective, it's just so bad that, yes, there are people who like it because it's bad. But the dialogue in this movie is terrible. The acting in this movie is terrible. The casting in this movie, the directing, like every aspect of this movie is just straight bad.
Yeah, I gave it 2 stars because it does have the nostalgia factor and it is just like pure schlock. There's something entertaining sometimes about just pure schlock. Of, you know exactly where this movie's going to go. It's so cheesy. It's so over the top. And it just keeps going in that direction and doesn't stop. Half the decisions don't make sense, but it's an action movie and it's the most generic action movie you could ever imagine. So I did give it 2 stars for that. What really makes me laugh, though, is, John, you said it off the bat. It's Godzilla in name only.
Mm-hmm.
To take Godzilla out of Japan, because this was the first one that took Godzilla out of Japan, right? Or that wasn't made by a Japanese company. I know Toho wasn't actually.
Yeah, this was the first American Godzilla. Well, with the exception of like the redub of the original.
Yeah, that doesn't count. This was the first actual American Godzilla that was made by America fully.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't make sense because it, you know, when you're a kid and you watch this Godzilla, you think Godzilla is just a giant monster who attacks people. The whole point of Godzilla is the allegory to the H-bomb and what Japan went through and all of that. And you see that in Minus One, you see that in the original Godzilla. And I saw Godzilla versus Kong, not this last one, but whatever one in 2021, the one that came out right after when COVID had just kind of started to die down. So we were allowed to go to the theaters again. I saw that one, but it's kind of like they forget when you put it in America, what the whole basis of Godzilla is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's so funny to watch the 1998 version now. Because you can see that it's like, we are going to make money off of this because it has the Godzilla name. What is it really? It is really a Tyrannosaurus Rex running around and a bunch of velociraptors coming out in New York City. Wouldn't that be cool? And also, what happens, I think it was the year before this, The Lost World, 2 years before this, whatever it was, The Lost World comes out. And that happens in San Diego. So it's like, look, we can see dinosaurs on the West Coast. That's what this movie is. And they'll get the radiation involved in this movie. But it's not the point of this movie. Like the why does Godzilla exist is total nonsense in this movie compared to what the 54 version was trying to say. So the 54 version is infinitely better. There's no question about that. It's just they don't even belong in the same genre. It's so funny how, you know, if you watch 98 and then you turn around and watch 54 immediately after, like I did, you sit there and say to yourself, what the hell did I just watch? So yeah. Why do you think with Toho being involved with the 1998 Godzilla, cause they were one of the producers on it. I don't know how much they were involved, but they were one of the producers on it.
Yeah.
Why do you think that this was what the story was with this movie?
I think there are a few things to consider. I think for one, Toho's involvement is just, or Toei's involvement is just that, you know, they have the rights to the franchise.
Good point.
look at who directs this movie. It's Roland Emmerich.
Yeah.
Like, this is a disaster movie, which, to be fair, Godzilla is kind of a disaster movie when you break it down. Like, the 54 Absolutely. Version really is a disaster movie. It has, like, a 20-minute segment of Godzilla just stomping around Tokyo. And that's fine because it really works in that movie because of the allegory behind it. When we get into the 98 version, I think there's just so much nuance to Godzilla. And when you're bringing it over for an American audience, how are you supposed to say, hey, by the way, Godzilla represents America and it's bad?
You can't do it.
No,
you can't do it because the whole thing, like, okay. So bringing this into the conversation of Oppenheimer, which came out this past summer, and a lot of people were saying there should have been Japanese involvement in that movie. We should have seen their point of view. And the whole point is like, no, we're seeing Oppenheimer's point of view because Oppenheimer wasn't actually putting a face to the Japanese people. He was still felt guilty about it. He still didn't want to do it, but he didn't have to put a face to it. And this movie is kind of, this is the Japanese version of that in my mind of, we are saying, would we go to the same lengths that America went to the end of this movie when they have the oxygen destroyer.
Yeah.
And this guy feels so guilty that he has the oxygen destroyer because he knows that the politicians are then going to want to turn it into a weapon. A-bomb versus A-bomb, H-bomb versus H-bomb. He knows that this is what's going to happen. And so he doesn't want that to take place. And he knows that by throwing this into the ocean and destroying Godzilla, you are also destroying how much it's turning into an aquatic graveyard. You're destroying all of the marine life that lives off the coast of Tokyo. It's the same thing that America did to destroy and, you know, air quotes, Godzilla, which was, you know, to get rid of the Japanese military and stop them from, you know, continuing the war. They dropped an atomic bomb that was ultimately used to, didn't matter that it was going to decimate everybody. That's what they did. And we see Oppenheimer in the movie Oppenheimer dealing with the struggles and not wanting to do that and all of those things. But it's funny how this movie completely parallels that and how Nolan's movie is really paralleling that. But that's why you can't make an Americanized version of this, because we were the ones who dropped the bomb. We weren't the ones who were attacked in this scenario. And that's why Godzilla is, we talked about this when we talked about Minus One. The thing with Godzilla is when Godzilla destroys the towns or the cities and is killing people relentlessly with no reasoning, and when they can't figure out how do we destroy this, can we destroy this, is there anything we can do? This is exactly how Japan was feeling about the bomb that had been dropped on them. And Godzilla was just a replacement for that. It's a giant monster because it's something that you can see, that you can visualize, but it was meant to be that. And America, if you make an American version of this, it almost always has to be the nonsense that has come out in the last, you know, since 98's version, which is 26 years now. It almost has to be this of just blah, 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 because there can't be a deeper meaning to it.
There can be, but it's just not going to appeal to the general American population is what it comes down to. Because I'm really glad you brought up the Oppenheimer of this, because I also saw the parallels in the 54 version with Oppenheimer, and how the character of Dr. Sarazawa really kind of focuses on that Oppenheimer-esque character, where it's like, it's not the question of can we do it, it's the question of should we do it. To see him throw his research notes in the fire after like agreeing to use this weapon, and then sacrificing himself to use the weapon to absolutely eradicate any chance of this ever being replicated. It goes that extra length that it never felt Nolan's Oppenheimer did in the conversation. And this is a movie from 70 years ago that's an hour and a half long and like is dated to some extent. But the themes that it's presenting are these themes that are so present in today's life, where the 54 version of Godzilla still feels relevant to this day. This idea of the pursuit of science and how far is too far. Are we going to ultimately destroy ourselves in this pursuit to discovering more knowledge?
Yeah, exactly. And who are we going to, not only just destroy ourselves, but who are we willing to kill? Who are we willing to sacrifice in order to make this happen? If we're going to, is this for the preservation of our people or the preservation of all people? Right.
Yeah.
And you see that with Godzilla. It's so much of, we are trying to preserve. This is a Japanese problem. There is nobody else who's dealing with this. And I think that's very important to the movie, that it's insulated in Japan, because in Japan, they were the ones who were affected by the bomb. The other countries around the world had not had a bomb dropped on them. It was Japan who had it. So for this to be insulated to Japan, and now you're seeing Japan, a country that is very focused on honor and things like that, having to figure out how do we do this? How do we go through this? Is there anything we can do? And I also love the discussion in this movie from the professor, whatever he is, the dad of Amiko, when he says, why are we not studying the effects of radiation and why it's able to handle this? Because that was another thing that at the time people wanted to know, is there a cure for the radiation poisoning and things that have happened to so much of the population? People being wiped out years and decades later because of the sickness and because of just the air quality and everything. Was there a way that something could be gained from this? But it always comes down to, we must destroy. We can't worry about the positive that could come from this. We must focus on destruction, destruction, destruction. And that is what this movie is stating, in my opinion. And real Nicolas Cage says Godzilla 54 is one of a kind. It truly is a one of a kind movie. Is it dated? Yeah. Did I give it 3.5 instead of 4? Yeah. There's certain things about it where I'm just like, whatever. I know. I probably should give it 4. But the thing is, I've never been a huge monster movie guy. As I sit here with you see this shirt?
Your Creature from the Black Lagoon shirt?
My Creature from the Black Lagoon shirt. They had this at Universal Studios Orlando, and I went the last time. It's a freaking amazing shirt. If you're listening, make sure you go check out the shirt. It's really quite funny. But, you know, it's all these deep, heavy, hard-hitting meanings that make it make sense that Godzilla then turned around and had a massive franchise, right? It almost reminds me of Planet of the Apes, where Planet of the Apes, the first one, is so deep, and then it starts to get a little less philosophical until the reboots. But with this Godzilla, you see it. And then in Godzilla 98, it's, what if we just made an action movie with this and we didn't really concern ourselves? And it's funny because you could make a movie with the exact same plot and you could just call it T-Rex. Mm-hmm. And it's going to do half the box office, but it's going to be the exact same movie.
Yeah, it is. The thing with 98's Godzilla is it's really focusing... It feels like it just didn't grasp the allegory of the original.
Do you think Godzilla. It didn't grasp it or didn't care about grasping it? I think there's a difference between those two things.
I really do think it's a didn't grasp it rather than not caring about grasping it, because I think it focuses so much on the destruction of everything and not the conversation that's happening around it. Because when you look at the dialogue, 98's Godzilla, I think, has one of the most heinous lines in almost any movie, because it literally is telling you this isn't Godzilla. And that's the moment where we get the first big destruction sequence in New York, and they're using the heat-seeking missiles, and they're like, oh, we can't hit it because it's colder than the buildings around it.
Yeah.
Terrible writing. Terrible writing. Godzilla literally performs nuclear fusion within its body. It's going to be hotter than any building.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally the writers of that movie saying this isn't actually Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
There's atomic breath in 94 in 54.
Yeah, at first I wasn't sure what it was. I was looking at it and I'm like, what are you? And then it started melting stuff and I said, oh, okay, good, we're good, got it.
I understand now. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, why do you think that they were so obsessed in this movie with making it so that they were asexual and could give birth?
That was literally the plot of Jurassic Park.
What did I say, John?
Yeah.
What did I say?
No, you're right. You're right.
You know what I mean? And it's funny because they sacrificed the things that made Godzilla Godzilla for the sake of making essentially another Jurassic Park movie.
Yeah. Yeah. A big part of the 54 version is Godzilla is the last of its species.
It's mentioned the last. It's the
so
only,
many times in that movie that it's not like, you know, the use of and the testing of the H-bomb didn't create Godzilla. It awakened Godzilla. It was this ancient being that had been slumbering and then was awoken by the use of atomic weapons and somehow had this resilience to radiation and gave it radiation powers and things like that. Whereas the 98 one, it's hinted at that radiation caused this through the Chernobyl worms and everything like that. I think it's kind of a disservice to the 98 Godzilla to say that it's a T-Rex, because it's definitely just an irradiated iguana. As very heavily hinted throughout the movie that that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's going for like the T-Rex of it all. So
it is. It's still going for the like a yeah. T-Rex. And I mean, even the way Godzilla looks and walks,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't look like Godzilla.
No. No. And I mean, like, Godzilla's obviously evolved since... I guess not really.
Not
I guess
really.
We kind of went back to the original Godzilla design.
I mean, what were the other versions of Godzilla? I feel like every Godzilla movie I've seen, Godzilla looks very similar to the OG Godzilla.
Yeah, eventually at least. Shin Godzilla has like an evolution sequence for Godzilla that starts it looking very different, and then it eventually becomes like the Godzilla we all know.
I haven't seen Shin Godzilla. That's the one you always talk about the most.
I mean, it's made by Anno, and you know how I feel about Anno. So
yeah.
But circling back on 98, I think that when it comes down to it is there's just so much focus on destruction, and 98 almost gets it, where there isn't a lot of Godzilla in that movie. For like that movie was like 2 hours and 20 minutes or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
It was, yeah.
It was super long. And there isn't a lot of actual Godzilla destroying things, which is good, because Godzilla shouldn't be the focus of Godzilla movies. You kind of have to focus on the human element. The problem with 98 is the human element is just really bad.
Well, and it goes back to the fact that it might not focus 100% on Godzilla, but the whole last 40 minutes of that movie is monsters attacking. It might not be Godzilla, but it's little baby Godzillas. We're coming after you. So it's, even though the whole movie doesn't have much of the big Godzilla, it has too much of the little Godzillas, which is problematic for the movie.
Yeah, and it loses a lot of its any potential impact it could have because of that. And when we're looking at symbolism in the 98 Godzilla, what is it trying to say? Because there could be a discussion about American militarism.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's kind of underlined there with
really, they somehow make the French people seem like the bad guys.
Yeah. I don't understand what the involvement of the French secret service or whatever they are, like intelligence.
Gene Reno's character is very interesting to me in this one, because, and by very interesting, I mean, I don't get it, because he starts off as like, I'm a doctor. I'm coming in. I'm going to talk to you. And what are you going to say? And then you get the Kaiser Soze scene of Godzilla, but it's really Kaiser Soze. It's the exact same scene, shot the exact same way. It's so funny. I'm talking about when the guy who's pulled off the barge and the Usual Suspects is like, Kaiser Soze. You know, it's that thing. So then all of a sudden he becomes, I'm an insurance guy. And it's like, what? When did that happen? Mm-hmm. And then it becomes, now I'm actually like in control of military stuff. And I feel like they're trying to keep us in the dark about what he truly is. But then I'm left saying, why do I even care what he truly is? Like, what is the point of what I'm watching right now?
Yeah. I just don't understand the involvement of them. It seems like a way of progressing the plot once Matthew Broderick's character is kicked out of the military involvement because he leaked the story.
Yeah, which they had to do because they needed a love interest. John, what did you think of the love interest in this movie?
It was bad. It was so bad. It makes no sense. Ah, I dated that guy in college. Cool. Sweet. And you feel like you're being used at your job, because you are. You're being sexually harassed. And your response is, I'm going to go hook up with my college boyfriend.
Yeah. That'll show these guys. All of that stuff is very, very cheesy. Very, very cheesy.
And to be fair, like the romance that is in the 54 version, also kind of cheesy.
I guess the thing with the 54 version that's a little bit more forgiving is, I don't feel like the 54 version, and maybe who is the main character in your mind of the 54 version?
I have to go with probably, I don't think there is a main character. And I think that's what's important about the 54 version, is that it is really going with this ensemble focus to
which is why I'm more forgiving of the fact that it has a cheesy romance, because I feel like the cheesy romance is thrown in there because it's a 50s movie and it needed to have one, not because that was the only way it was going to be able to develop the characters in any way, shape, or form. Does that make sense?
It does. And I also think it's more forgiving because the cheesy romance between Himiko and Hirado is really focused on this idea of it's getting the conflict between Dr. Yamane and Himiko's opposing philosophies on how to approach Godzilla.
Yeah.
And that's what the romance is doing in that movie. The romance isn't a focus of the movie. It is a way to keep the conversation of what the movie is about going throughout the entire film.
Because you see at the one part in that movie where he's talking about, you know, we're going to do, I'm going to propose, I'm going to ask for your father's consent today. And then the father comes in and he's, you know, I can't believe we're not doing the radiation thing. And then Yamane, is it Yamane? What's his name? What is it?
Hidato.
Ogata.
That's his last name.
That's his name. I'm going to say Ogata because that's what I remember popping up. But so Ogata, you see him say, no, I think that they're right. This, that, whatever. And then that pisses off the dad. Mm-hmm. So you're right. It is driving that. What is Matthew Broderick's relationship with the actress who never did anything again? What is their relationship doing for this movie other than saying, oh, cool, they're going to go on a silly chase here. And they're like, she's a reporter and he's the scientist. So they're going to be able to break this together and win. It's a very 90s storyline.
It's so 90s.
It's so.
And again, it like falls into that Roland Emmerich. This is after Roland Emmerich did
Independence Day, right? Yep, it's after. So, that's why he got this movie. That's why Independence Day was such a massive success. And Independence Day came out in 1996. So then he gets, you know, Roland Emmerich became the disaster movie guy for a little bit there.
Yeah.
He really did.
It makes sense why he's attached to this movie. The 90s were just a time where when you're looking at these throwback films, like these remakes, rebrands, I guess, is kind of a better term for what this Godzilla movie is. They just didn't do it. They did it as cash grabs. Like, this is kind of where we're starting to see the cash grab of Hollywood, I feel. This Godzilla almost feels like it is a setup for a franchise that never happened.
Well, down to the fact that they show an egg at the end.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's always the thing with these monster movies. Even back in the 54 version, Yamane says, I can't believe that he is the last version, the last one of his species or something like that. There's something in his head that says there's going to be another. And you get the dun, 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 you know, it's we're ready to go. There's going to be another one. That's how all these movies were being set up. But for a movie to come out in 1998, and let me check Box Office Mojo really quickly, because I know that this movie made a bunch of money, but did it just not make enough? It made $379 million worldwide. Budget was $130 million. Domestically only made $136 million, so barely crossed. So it wasn't a great box office success. Normally in America, you want to go 2 1/3 and then, or 2.5, and then worldwide you can add on to that. So even though it was triple pretty much what its box office was or what its budget was, it's still not a great success.
Yeah.
So they didn't have the money, and it was so poorly received, they couldn't go out and make a second one. But it was set up for there to be a second one. They just couldn't do it.
Yeah, which is probably why we get the animated TV series instead.
Was that Godzilla 2000, or was that a movie?
That was a movie. That was a Japanese movie.
That was a Japanese movie. Was that kind of in response to this one?
I don't know. I actually haven't seen Godzilla 2000.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that one.
But they were just like pumping out Godzilla movies. Like, I mean, God, there are so many Godzilla movies. And Japan pumps them out all the time, right?
Yeah, and it makes sense because, you know, that's where these originated, and that makes sense that these would be in there. But it is so funny to me that, okay, let's talk about this then. You were saying cash grab, cash grab, cash grab. I mean, obviously we have real Nicolas Cage here say Godzilla 98 needs to go to Pearl Harbor. Okay. So you think about a movie like Pearl Harbor, right? Mm-hmm. Pearl Harbor came out in what year? Pearl Harbor came out in 2001.
Yeah.
And Michael Bay made a corny, cheesy, terrible love story about Pearl Harbor. Like, took From yes. Here to Eternity and turned it into a steaming pile of dog shit. Now, I'll be a Michael Bay defender on some instances. Like, I always talk about how much I love Armageddon, and that's pretty much where it ends. But still, like, Michael Bay has made good movies. The Rock is a good movie. Bad Boys, there's a reason they keep making Bad Boys movies. The thing is, that was a cash grab. That was not looking at it as, okay, what's the emotional part of this history? What is something that's going to really respect the people who were involved with this? In the late 90s, though, that was the type of movie that was being made. It was this mind-numbing popcorn flick. And that's why they were able to get away with making Godzilla 98 the way that they made it. Because nobody was going to sit there and question, why am I watching this? Why am I watching this movie? And the thing is, most of the audience who was watching that, because you have to think about this from the perspective of 1998. Okay, let's get in everybody's head in 1998. You didn't have streaming services. You had the video store. And if you went to the video store, foreign language films had one version, one copy, no matter where you went. That was it. Now, John lives in Canada. Maybe there'd be more French versions of movies. No. But in the U.S., there wasn't even, like, it was, here's your international section, and it would be one row, and that was it. And you'd have one version of each movie, unless you got a massive, like, Il Postino. When Il Postino came out and was nominated for Best Picture, that's going to get more. Life is Beautiful obviously got a whole bunch because of Roberto Benigni and all of that, winning the Oscars and those things. Those were different. But if you wanted to go watch a Fellini movie, you didn't have the Criterion Collection. You didn't have Canopy or Prime Video or anything like that. You relied on your video store. And if it wasn't there, you couldn't go online and buy the movie online. You had to go to a store and hope that they had it. Now, there were some great ones. FYE used to be amazing. FYE obviously has fallen apart and just become nothing. But FYE used to be amazing, whether it was with CDs or with, or with videos, it was VHSs or DVDs, didn't matter. Most people going into Godzilla 98 probably hadn't seen Godzilla 1954 because it was not an easily accessible movie. If you were a huge Godzilla fan, if you were a child who grew up with Godzilla, you might have gotten the box set as a child. You might have bought the box set as an adult because you thought they were fun, cool monster flicks. But if you weren't into monster flicks, it's not like Godzilla 1954 was playing on TV every day. It wasn't accessible. So a lot of people go into Godzilla 98 just knowing, oh, it's a giant monster. And that's all they thought it was. And that is why Godzilla 98 could get away with, in these newer versions, like I said, I only saw the one, and it's not, it's nonsense. It's okay movie, but it's just nonsense, nonsense, nonsense. They have to make these movies better now because people know what these movies are supposed to be. Godzilla 98 had no such pressure.
It's true. And even if you look at it, look at the perception of Godzilla in 98, right? Yeah, we're talking about the 1954 version. That was 44 years before this movie came out. And Godzilla had kind of become a jokey franchise by that point, too, right? It really embraced the kaiju genre that it was. It had lost a lot of the allegory, especially out of the Showa era into the Heisei era. So Godzilla is kind of not as focused on the symbolism and everything. And it was more, hey, cool, big monsters fight big monsters. And Godzilla had become a friend of humanity by that point. Yep. So really, 98 kind of revitalizes Godzilla and making it like the big bad of the movie again. But it just does it in such a poor way because it's Roland Emmerich. It's a disaster movie.
Yeah,
that's all Godzilla 98 is.
Yeah, that's a good point, too, because I think a lot of people, if you've only seen the original Godzilla and then you haven't seen anything else and, it, you know, and then you maybe go watch them, you know, later on down the line, but you haven't seen them yet. You forget that Godzilla essentially becomes the hero of those movies and the villain of those movies is whatever monster he is attacking.
Which is what the latest, like, the legendary
is monster. Is Kong the hero in this one still, or is it actually Godzilla?
This is a King Kong movie. It's not a Godzilla movie. I went.
Yeah, that's how the other one I saw was too. They're all
over. Kong's actually the main protagonist of this movie, and you spend a lot of time with. But there's a long segment of this movie where not a word is spoken because King Kong is the character you're focusing on.
Did you like that, John? I know you like when people don't talk in movies.
I do like when people... I actually didn't mind this movie, this latest movie, in all honesty. Like, was it good? No, it was pretty bad, but it was enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was what I expected out of a legendary kaiju movie.
I am much more pleased that we have switched up and that we're not doing the Marvel thing anymore, because I am so much more into not having to go to the theater and see that movie right now and just sitting down and watching these two. I really am. I'm so much more into that. So thank you for me. Thank you to me, because that was a movie I saw it was coming out and I had no interest. And we sat down and we talked about this. I'm like, I'm so glad I don't have to just go to the theater and just sit there, find 2.5 hours, because you know what, the trailers and everything.
It was under 2 hours. It was wonderful.
But our trailers down here are so ridiculous, man. Especially at the theater I go to, they'll do like 30 minutes beforehand and you're just like, want to smash
it. With the trailers, I was out of that theater in 2 hours.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. But I'm glad I just got to sit here and throw on Godzilla 54 when I had time. And that was it. That was the extent of it. So
yeah, I have the Criterion Godzilla collection.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the Showa films. So it's all 15 Showa era films in this very beautiful book that the Criterion collection does. So it was nice cracking it up, because I don't usually get an excuse to do so.
How much was that? How many movies are in that?
15.
Okay.
It's like,
did you get that on one of their sales or no?
I sure did, because it's regular like $300. But when it was $120, I was like, slam purchase.
That was when I did the Ingrid Bergman thing. Yeah. Ingmar Bergman. Ingrid Bergman was in Casablanca. Ingmar Bergman, when I did that, I had to buy that for cheap, because it was like regular $250. And then I got it for like $125, I guess, because it was 50% off. It was great.
Yeah, but I think really what it comes down to with Godzilla as a franchise, as a whole, because Godzilla is always relevant, and it's just become more and more relevant in this year. This year, Godzilla is the hotness, right? Like, Godzilla Minus One was fantastically received. Mm-hmm. Godzilla Cross Kong that just released this week. Honestly, like, the critic reviews are really bad. Audiences love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people love these Godzilla, and yes, it's not really a Godzilla movie. Godzilla's present and does kind of Godzilla things in it, but people really enjoy Godzilla, which makes going back to these older Godzilla movies so much better now. Because first off, you can, like, when you go back to 54, you see where it all began. You see the blueprint for what Minus One ended up being this year.
That's what I was going to say. You can see how Godzilla Minus One and all these other ones want to replicate what Godzilla 54 was doing and not what Godzilla 98 was doing.
Mm-hmm. And then when you look at 98, you see how the American Godzilla films got made the way they were made too.
Mm-hmm.
Because the association with the American public and Godzilla is giant monster attacks things.
Mm-hmm.
And even when we look at the legendary movies, now Godzilla is that friend of humanity. I mean, they literally use the phrase like protector of nature in this latest movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire purpose of Godzilla in these legendary movies now is fight the other kaiju. Like, that's mm-hmm. it. They don't call them kaiju though, because they don't want to use Japanese words, I guess. But despite the fact that they're two very separate franchises, the DNA is still there from the beginning. And one of the points we really need to talk about with both of these movies is the special effects in both of them.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, 98 special effects are awful.
Did you like my, you didn't like my review?
I thought I did. Or maybe you I did. Was intending to, but I had to watch the movie again to realize that literally everything is very terrible CGI in that movie.
Every single thing in that movie is horrific CGI. And my review was just, I can't believe they used only practical effects for this, because every single shot in that movie is terrible CGI. It's insane the things that they will CGI. And like the buildings collapsing and stuff, it really made me appreciate how far special effects have come. Because even though I'll sit here and I'll rip some of the Marvel movies and everything and be like, ooh, that doesn't look good. That didn't age well. All is a hell of a lot better than whatever the hell was the most money they could put into this movie. That's for sure.
Yeah. But conversely, look at the special effects in 94 or in 54. Because there are a couple things that I think it does really well. First off, it chooses its moments to show things.
Mm-hmm.
it's almost like they realized their limitation, so they just didn't show it. The first time Godzilla shows up, you don't even see him because it's nighttime.
Yep. Yep, they almost make it seem like it's a storm instead, and that's what the conversation is.
Absolutely. And then, like, when the oxygen destroyer is shown, rather than show us that sequence, they just show Inigo's reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, part of that is because of the reveal later in the film, but it's also like, hey, let's not emphasize the bad special effects we have. Are the special effects in 54 very good?
I think they are for the time, man. Yeah, for the time, they're very impressive.
Like, you have somebody dressed as a dinosaur stomping around and, like, stepping on models and stuff, but it looks so real. And you can clearly tell when they use, like, the model train and the model boats and all that.
Of course.
But it feels like it just ages better than this bad CGI of the 90s.
Yeah. No, and I think that's how it's always going to be, right? I think that's why we talked about it during the Marvel movies, and that's why we talk about it with some other movies. Like with the Lord of the Rings trilogy, it's impressive that they still look as good as they do because they are a lot of CGI. There's a lot of practical effects in there, but there's a lot of CGI. CGI is always going to date. Practical effects are going to date, too. Like you said, you can tell when the train is a fake train. You can tell when something is fake. Like, it's not hard. It's not like we're sitting here saying, wow, this is so good. But there's something more homey about it. There's something more endearing about it. And also, there's a creativity to it that makes it really interesting. Watching Godzilla run around New York and never touch the ground because he's running on top of buildings and just decimating them is not as interesting as, okay, they need to show Godzilla coming over the hill, but clearly they can't show the entire Godzilla because then it's not going to look like the right size.
Yeah.
So instead, the way they do the 3D planes and everything like that looks really cool. The way they do manage to put him destroying a bunch of power lines next to real people, but superimpose that so that it looks the way it does. It's all incredibly impressive. It really is. And like, that's the beauty of practical effects. There's a creativity to it that needed to be thought out. Whereas with these CGI effects, it's just like, yeah, there it is. Did it done. It just feels so half-assed. And you really see that in this movie, especially because they could call that state of the art. And look, I'm a huge Armageddon defender, so it is what it is. But Armageddon came out the same year and looks a million times better. The one thing you can't say looks bad about Armageddon is the special effects. The special effects hold up actually incredibly well in that movie. It's the story that is absolutely asinine. But I just think they threw this together as quickly as they could because the special effects aren't very good. And they never have – the only time they have anything real in the movie is when the eggs are hatching. And what's that from, John? What's that from?
Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it's from Jurassic Park. Yes, yes, yes. When they go and see the raptors for the first time and it starts poking. Oh, come on, little guy. I can't help him or he's not going to be strong enough. Dude, it's just like – it's crazy. Go watch Jurassic Park. I'm telling this to all of our fans now. Go watch Jurassic Park, then watch The Lost World, then watch Godzilla. They wanted this movie to be part of that trilogy. They really did. They were hoping that they'd get the success. They forget that Steven Spielberg and a legitimate story, as in the first one, the second one, and whatever. But they forget that the legitimate story is what is actually driving people to call that one a classic and make people want to continue to go out and watch it.
Yeah. I think CGI has just gone to a point, and I think we see it a lot in like current films too. And this goes back to what I was saying about 54 concealing a lot of things because they just didn't have the technology to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's enough restraint in filmmaking nowadays because of CGI.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea that, oh, whatever, we can just throw it in there with computer graphics instead of actually like spending the time to think about whether or not it will work with what you're doing. We saw it with like a lot of the Marvel movies where they're like green screened all the time. And one of the biggest complaints we always have about those Marvel movies is you can literally tell these people aren't in a real space.
Yeah, they're not even looking at anything. That's always something we talk about is, what are they looking at? Not anything that's going on in the movie.
So when you go back to 54, it just feels like it has this different level of interest from the filmmaker that goes into making it. It feels like Ichiro Honda really just wanted to make his story. And because of the limitations of technology, had to make it this way. Mm-hmm. And it's better because of that.
Absolutely. And I think that's why this movie is one that people actively seek out and constantly talk about, and why it is considered a classic. And there is a lot that goes into that, right? What is it? The fine line between art and what is it? Art and shit and its intent, right? Like that's like, that's the difference, right? Like to make something a piece of art, the intent is to make it artistic. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of art that you look at and say, that's kind of stupid. But if the intent is right, you still have to consider it art, even if you think it's bad art. Godzilla 98 is not meaning to be art. Godzilla 98, like you said earlier, is meaning to be a cash grab. Yeah. So, yeah, I totally agree with you that you see the desire to make a great movie coming out. And you also see when they're talking about, you know, what this means, like what this movie is going to mean for the Japanese people at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that you can feel that throughout this entire movie. You really can feel that. And that's very, very important to making movies, you know, just work. Because if that's not there, I don't know if this movie stands up as well either. But having that and that scene with the woman saying, that's all right, we're going to be with dad soon. And knowing that that is a reference to the war or to the bomb being dropped, that she's holding her children and Godzilla is about to decimate them. You can't get that kind of emotion from Godzilla 98. Like you absolutely can't do it. And you can't get that kind of emotion from whatever Godzilla movies they're making now. You just can't.
It just doesn't go there because it doesn't have that connection to history. Even when you look at 54, there's the scene where it's right after they first see Godzilla. You're like, oh yeah, this was done by Godzilla. And we see the politicians discussing whether or not they can reveal the truth to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's so much about what this franchise is about, is this idea of who's controlling information, what is the information going out there, and what are we doing about it as people? When we look at -1, right? The government and the Navy didn't want to get involved with dealing with Godzilla. So it was people who volunteered themselves to do it.
Yep.
And that's where the soul of these Godzilla movies comes from, is the strength of the Japanese people to fight against these horrible things that were done to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else you want to say about these Godzilla movies? I know we're trying not to just go half hour, like we were doing with the past ones. We've kind of talked about these over the top of each other a lot. So it makes it a little bit harder to say, like, did we hit all of our points? Do you have anything else you wanted to say about them?
What a year 1954 was for Takashi Shimura.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, Takashi Shimura plays Dr. Yamane, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was also in Seven Samurai, right? That year.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he in Tokyo Story?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I know that wasn't.
I know he was a longtime collaborator with Kurosawa, and is in like, he's in Rashomon.
He's in Ikiru, High and Low, Yojimbo.
Okay.
Throne of Blood. Yeah. So he wasn't in Tokyo Story. Maybe it's just because I see him all the time in the Ikiru poster. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who's the dad in Tokyo Story? I feel like he looks very similar to the dad in Tokyo Story.
But I mean, like 54, and you come out in two of the most iconic Japanese movies of all time.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you can't complain about that. Oh no, this guy's way older. Okay, I was just misremembering. This guy's so much older in Tokyo Story. It's just misremembering. No, that's a great year. Good for him. Good for him. He's got that look, man. He's got that like weathered, I'm exhausted look. He really works with so many of these Japanese movies.
Yeah, this role is so perfect for him because it's just like, and there's that bit of excitement that Dr. Yamane has this entire movie of, yes, Godzilla's here destroying Japan and everything. But there's that, like, the moment when he finds the trilobite and is like, this is so exciting.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's that type of discovery that's really missing. And 98 actually tries to replicate that scene. Because Broderick is in the footprint of Godzilla, doesn't realize it. And at the beginning of the trilobite scene, Yamane is like, what if I told you this was a footprint?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. Like, there is, it's not like 98 completely disrespects 54 and like ignores its existence. it just doesn't go far enough to really try to be that thing. And I think it comes down to a lot of what we were discussing last week when we were talking about the 90s movies. The 90s was a decade of optimism. People didn't want to be looking at the United States as this pessimistic force that 54 has the opportunity to do, but can't outright say because Japan's under American occupation at the time.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
So it's very interesting comparing that. And I think the problem with 98, and I think it's also why like Gareth Edwards' 2014 Godzilla was a better Godzilla movie than 98, mm-hmm. because we could be more depressing in 2014 than we could be in 98.
Yeah, 98 no, that's fair.
Had to have that optimism, right?
Yeah. Well, I would say, I am curious, for those of you who have listened this far in, and this will be something that I want on every one of our podcasts. Do you all think, or I'm sorry, not do you all think, hang on. Are you all going to watch, or have you watched these movies? Before we did this podcast, had you seen both of these? Obviously, you'd heard of both of these. That's not a shocker. But had you actually seen both of these? That's what I want to know. I want to kind of keep tabs on, and which one did you see if you've seen one, and which one did you not see if you haven't seen it? That's what I want to know as we move forward. Sorry, I got distracted. I was looking over at Twitter real quick, and it just came up that said two new era returnees to feature on season 47. So I'm like, wait, who are these people?
Godzilla. It's not Godzilla.
Yeah, anyway, Godzilla. Sorry, that just distracted me, and that's why I couldn't think of what I was saying. But anyway, yes, I am very, very excited to see what you all have to say. I'm very excited to move forward with this series, to talk about this series, and see where we're going to go with this series. So, John, what do we have next? What are the two movies next? It's John Wick, right? That's the
week. It is John Wick and Hard Boiled next week.
Yes. So, John Wick, the original one, and then Hard Boiled came out in 1992. It is a... I want to make sure everybody knows that they're watching the right one, because this is definitely John Wick is the popular one here. If you haven't seen it, how the other one is, you probably haven't, but you should. It's a John Woo movie, Chow Yun-fat and Tony Leung. So get ready. That's going to be a lot of fun. Excited for this. It's April Fool's Day. That's why this is up. I got it. Mm. It's April Fool's Day. We're good. This is not an April Fool's joke, John. Hard Boiled is seriously our movie next week. If you haven't checked it out, check it out before we talk about it. It is a very fun action movie. John Woo, obviously really well known for his action movies. And it'll be fun to talk about that alongside John Wick. So I'm very, very excited for that. And I hope you all are too. Let us know what you think about this series. Real Nicolas Cage already hitting here. I watched the original earlier this year because HBO has a bunch of them. 98 version I haven't seen since I was like six. Yeah. I think every single Godzilla movie at this point is on Max. I think they have the deal for almost every single one of them. Yeah, so that's where they all are right now. So make sure you check that out. But thank you all so much for listening. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Let us know what you thought about this first episode. As I said, we've already got all of our movies decided through the end of May. But if you start saying, hey, I'd like to hear you guys talk about this movie or this movie or this movie, start leaving some comments about this, because there's a lot that we can get into with this series, and I'm really excited to do it. Mr. Monkey says, haven't seen either. Want to watch 54 now. So look at that. We're already opening people's eyes to Godzilla's not just a bunch of schlock. It's actually really good filmmaking. So thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you next Monday. This is going to be a Monday series. Yep. Okay, everybody, this is going to be a Monday series, so just get ready for that. We're going to be rolling through. So this is going to be a Monday series. So we'll see you next Monday, April 8th. At some time. And that's it, John. I got it. You done? We good? See you later, everybody. Good.